Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I first saw this several days ago. It was making the rounds, a Religion News Service interview with six newly elected female bishops in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Now, the fact that it was from the ELCA caught my attention. This is the other large Lutheran church body of the United States, as opposed to the one which I serve, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the ELCA has been numbered among the Seven Sisters and the mainline Protestant denominations for decades now. It is an outlier in one sense, in that it's declining faster than the others are. And there's a question as to why. How did these bishops respond to the issue of that decline, if at all? Joining us to talk about this Religion News Service interview with the six newly elected female bishops in the ELCA, Mark Tooley, president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church, and a recent juicy ecumenism column titled Liberal Lutherans Doubling Down. Mark, welcome back.
Always good to be with you.
You have been covering the Seven Sisters and mainline Protestant denominations for a long time now. Did you hear anything in the interview with these female Lutheran bishops that was out of the mainline for the mainline Protestant denominations?
Unfortunately, it was completely conventional and company talk, and no open realization of just what a dire situation the mainline is in, much less any proposals for redemption from that situation. So it was a very peculiar interview and confirms my assumption that there can be no revival of the mainline probably for another 10, 15, maybe even 20 years until this generation is long since retired and a new generation is going to try something very dramatically new.
When you say they're doubling down, what do you mean by that?
Well, just more of the same, more of what the mainline has been doing for the last 60 years, more revisionist liberal theology, more liberal political activism, regardless of what our actual church members say and think.
How bad are things, not only in mainline Protestantism generally, I'm just talking about numbers, but also in particular for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which these female bishops serve?
Well, previously the ELCA, it had been declining like the rest of the mainline, but its growth of decline had been much slower compared to, say, the United Church of Christ or the Episcopal Church. But now it's among the fastest imploding. It's lost over a quarter of its membership in just the last decade and seemingly no end in sight. And obviously that decline correlates with their official overturn of their standards on marriage and sexuality.
You actually make a kind of soft prediction that within 15 to 20 years, these organizations may not exist at least in the same sense that they do now?
Well, the Presbyterian Church USA, for example, would not exist in 20 years at its current rate of decline. The ELCA, at its current rate of decline, would not exist in about 30 years.
Did the bishops interviewed seem to at least acknowledge that that demographic trend is underway?
It did not. One of the six bishops interviewed referenced people complaining about how we're declining, but it was a cryptic reference and it offered no response to it. It was almost dismissive of the admission.
There was an odd interchange in the course of that Religion News Service interview between these bishops where they began to talk about the Holy Spirit being up to something, kind of culminating in cries of "let her out, get out of her way," referring in the feminine to the Holy Spirit. What did you make of that?
Yes, as the interviewer described it, they almost in unison were chanting, "let her loose, let her loose." referring to the Holy Spirit. So they all seem to be of one mind that the Holy Spirit can be referred to as her, which obviously is heterodox, not orthodox. And when they were chanting, "Let her loose," were they really referring to the Holy Spirit, or they were referring to what really is the preoccupation for the upper reaches of the mainline Protestant world, which is identity politics and self-empowerment.
So what seem to be the priorities for at least the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America going forward into its further decline?
Well, it's priority as reflected by these bishops, and I think these bishops speak for the current leadership of the ELCA and the current leadership for almost all of mainline Protestantism in America, which is more of the same, and a preoccupation with identity politics, with quote-unquote diversity, and with political empowerment, and with an almost proud indifference to church decline, as though that's validating to have one's message be rejected makes you more and more like Jesus.
How do they explain that they are, especially given the fact that they have cut themselves, at least theologically cut themselves off from what most of what Scripture teaches in the last 15 to 20 years? How do they rationalize being like Jesus?
Oh, I think they rationalize being like Jesus in that they see themselves as rebels, as challenging the status quo, as unpopular, as speaking and representing the downtrodden.
What is the gospel, apparently, for the interviewed bishops in this Religion News service?
Well, interestingly, they never really explained or expressed what they believe the gospel is. They talked about the church and the church's work, but in typical mainline Protestant ways, they seem to understand the church's work to be social and political action and humanitarian work and building what they describe as God's kingdom, but the kingdom doesn't seem to involve evangelizing or winning people to a personal faith in Christ.
This interview featured the six newly elected female bishops in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Are more and more females rising to prominent ecclesiastical church leadership roles in other mainline liberal Protestant denominations?
Yes and no. There seem to be more than ever in the ELCA and United Methodism, my own denomination. The number is about the same, maybe 20% of the bishops are female. My colleague who studies the Episcopal Church is writing an article currently that the Episcopal Church, for all of its rhetoric, actually has shockingly few female bishops.
Are there any exceptions? And we're speaking here about the general decline of Protestant denominations, liberal Protestant denominations. Are there any that are bucking the trend, if not numerically at least, in terms of kind of holding their own with respect to orthodoxy?
Well, the United Methodist Church, because its membership is global and a majority of its worshipers are in Africa, not the United States. So it is growing internationally, but the U.S. part of the denomination continues to decline at about the same rate as other mainline denominations are. And it has, because it's global, it has upheld its traditional standards on marriage and sexuality. And to my knowledge, the American Baptist Church has never surrendered its official standards on marriage and sexuality.
Picking up on their appeal to the Holy Spirit, I wonder what you think about this. I have noticed that the more tenuous the connection or the grasp a denomination holds on divine revelation, that is Holy Scripture, the more they tend to appeal to the Holy Spirit. Have you noticed that?
Well, yes, that's a good point, that when you cut loose in the Scripture, you justify it by saying the Spirit is ostensibly leading us in new and more exciting directions, and we're hitting that authority above the traditional understanding of the Scripture.
Where does that generally lead, I mean, in your experience of covering these church bodies?
Well, it always leads to bad places, of course, and the mainline Protestant world is the embodiment of those bad choices, and it's important to look at their activities because it's instructive for the rest of Christianity, lest they be tempted to follow those same tragic directions, as unfortunately a growing number of evangelicals are.
We're talking about a Religion News Service interview with six newly elected female bishops in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Mark Tooley is our guest president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy, based in Washington, D.C. When we come back, why do many lay people remain in their local liberal Protestant denomination? Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a recent Religion News Service interview with six newly elected female bishops in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Mark Tooley is our guest, author of the book, Taking Back the United Methodist Church, and a recent Juicy Ecumenism column titled Liberal Lutherans Doubling Down. Mark, why do you think it is that lay people, so many lay people, remain in their local liberal Protestant congregation?
Well, many are loyal to their local church. It's been a part of their lives for decades or perhaps part of their family for many generations. And it should be noted that in many mainline local churches, the gospel is still preached and God is still worshipped faithfully in many ways. So what the elites of the denomination do and say doesn't necessarily reflect what's going on at the local church level.
At what point do the numbers become so small that we can no longer refer to these denominations, either individually or collectively, as what was once considered to be kind of a bastion, even if of kind of liberal theology, but of an influential and important segment of the American religious landscape?
Well, that's a very important question. The mainline Protestant denominations have lost between 30 and 60% of their respective memberships. And so a couple of them now are, well, at least one is below 1 million members, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. The United Church of Christ is fast heading in that direction, if it hasn't already. And certainly the Presbyterians will be below 1 million members, probably in the next few years. So once these large denominations of millions of people sink down into the hundreds of thousands, I would think that structurally and financially, they will just have to, they won't be able to maintain denominational structures as they have been. I just think you're going to become more and more congregational by necessity.
Given mainline liberal Protestantism's capitulation to the world and to the culture, you would think that they'd be growing, that they'd have a message that appeals to the broader culture. Why aren't they growing?
Well, this is the great irony that I suppose churches in every age have thought that by accommodating the culture, they would somehow benefit from it, or at least buy themselves some level of protection or credential themselves. But certainly in the experience of liberal Protestantism in America and the West, this experiment with liberal theology and liberal political activism of the last 100 years has been disastrous for the mainline, especially over the last 60 years. So the lesson should be, and I think this is validated, not just in Western Christianity, but not even just global Christianity, but in religion universally, that when religions that challenge people have a much greater appeal than religions that try to accommodate.
There are some who would object and say, look, what we're seeing here in mainline Protestant denominations is in fact just maybe a slightly accelerated trend, but it's happening to all denominations across the board. They're all in decline. So really, it's just they're just leading the way in decline because they were already so far ahead of everyone else in every other respect. How do you respond to that?
That assertion is mostly not true. So often liberal Protestants will highlight that the Southern Baptist Convention, which had grown for decades, has been declining in membership for the last about 12 years, although it should be said that Southern Baptists are also planting hundreds of new churches every year, and they are more racially diverse than they ever have been before. But they are, in terms of overall official membership, they are declining. And other conservative denominations are declining. However, not all of them are. The Assemblies of God, the Pentecostal denomination, continues to grow fairly quickly. Christian Missionary Alliance, the Presbyterian Church of America, had grown for many years, and it was declining. Now it's growing again. I believe that the Free Methodist Church is growing, and there are other growing denominations, but it should be said that denominationalism and denominational loyalties are in dramatic decline in America, and people no longer think of themselves as belonging to a particular brand name. And, of course, the fastest-growing element of American Christianity is non-denominational churches.
There's also an ecumenical impulse in most of Protestant liberalism. And while they do not merge, they certainly do engage in intercommunion, and I would call it altar and pulpit fellowship. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has probably been the most prodigal and the most promiscuous in those terms, basically entering into fellowship with just about any church body that is willing to do so. May we be looking at perhaps, if not ecumenical merger, maybe even denominational merger in order to keep their heads financially above water at some point?
Strangely, I don't. The big ecumenical project of the 20th century, at least institutionally, has largely died, and groups like the National Council of Churches, once powerful, now virtually doesn't exist. It's down to just a nub of a couple of people, and the great collaborative ecumenical projects and talk about the eventual mergers or semi-mergers have largely died off. And so I don't, if this rate of decline had been happening 50 years ago, that would have happened. Of course, you recall there have been great Protestant mergers in other English-speaking countries, the United Church of Canada, the United Church of Australia, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen in America. And with the collapse of denominational loyalties, that makes the challenge even greater. So I think these denominations, mainline denominations, will just continue to shrink and try to find solutions to live as much smaller communities, but they will not merge with each other.
Mark Tooley is president of the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C., author of the book Taking Back the United Methodist Church and a recent Juicy Ecumenism column titled Liberal Lutherans Doubling Down. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, thanks.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Here's the speaker lineup for the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Anthony Esselin, Ryan Anderson, Beverly Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, John Warwick Montgomery, and Chris Rosebro. You can find out more and register for the conference at issuesetc.org, making the case Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. In Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll return to a series we're doing with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer on the prophets and the divine tribunal. We'll be in Psalms 50, and we'll also be in the prophet Amos. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.